a poll asked 1,000 people, if they found $1,000 on the ground, would they keep it or would they try to return it?
It's just a general question, right? They don't give us any more circumstances than that.
Well, they figured out which cities and towns across the country are the most honest and the least honest.
Okay.
But a majority, 53%, say that they would give it back. 47% of people say they'd keep it. How many of those people are lying? That's ultimately up to you to figure out.
I mean, think about that. 53%, 47%. I mean, that's not really a big majority, all right? That's a margin of error. You're talking to 1,000 people right there. It's in with range. So it's basically half and half.
It's half and half.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure it out because I was like, well, what would I do? And truthfully, it depends on the situation.
Yes.
If you're like in the woods and you're on a hike and you find $1,000 like rolled up next to you, like next to a tree.
Right.
That's my money. Like I found it in the woods.
Yeah.
Like, who lost it? Like
the squirrel?
Right. You think a squirrel is going around with $1,000 in his back pocket?
Yeah.
Of course not. But if I'm at a grocery store and there's like $1,000 on the floor, I'm like, somebody must have just dropped this out of their purse. Of course I go to customer service and I say, hi. I'm like, I just found this in aisle five.
Well, I mean, if it's just $1,000 and it's in nothing that is revealing or identifiable or whatever, you know, anybody could walk up there and claim it too, right? So, I mean, it's the age of cameras, so we won't get too in depth. But I will say this. Listen, if I find $1,000 in the woods or buried somewhere or on the beach or something like that, yes, I would think to myself, this has just come to me in strange circumstances. I also think that, you know, listen, the circumstances you're in makes a difference too, right? So, listen, you could be in a state of desperation. We've all had that feeling or been there at a moment in our lives, right? Most of the time you're feeling fine. You've got bills or whatever, but you've still got a job. You're fine. But sometimes we're in a desperate moment. Maybe that money has come to you for a reason.
Oh, it's a gift from God.
Right.
So that's how Raven says, instead of just saying, I will always keep the money, Raven just says, it's a gift from God and I should accept it if I'm a good person.
I say the same thing if I'm in Las Vegas. Don't fault me. I say the same thing.
All right. So they broke it down by cities. The most honest cities across the country, Jacksonville, Florida, 62% of people say they would hand it over.
That shocks me.
L.A.
That also shocks me.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I mean, I lived in Los Angeles, and I would not have given the money back at that time in my life. I promise you that. Tulsa, okay, maybe I believe you.
All right, the most dishonest cities, Detroit, Memphis, and New Orleans.
That doesn't seem fair, but there are casinos and places to drink everywhere in New Orleans.
I spent some time in New Orleans. That seems right to
you
me.
You might have kept it.
It's the 12 Tasks of Christmas on the Anna and Raven Show.
Here we go. For the next 12 days, every day, it's a different holiday task to get you in the mood for all the joyous things that happen this season.
I'm so glad that it doesn't start with me today. But, you know, here's the thing. Producer Sean, extremely crafty.
Yeah. Producer
Sneaky
Sean.
Sneaky crafty.
You're up first. And a lot of times you get all these boxes. Like you get home from work or wherever you are out and there's just tons of boxes. And you don't know what to do with them after you take the stuff out, right?
I have one that's like 8 feet long right now in the middle of my living room because my wife decided we needed a new entertainment center.
Yeah.
Need it.
Yes.
Has to happen.
Yeah, I have a lot of giant boxes too. And it's harder to hide those from my husband. So here's what we did. We brought them to work.
Oh, geez.
All these boxes. And what you are tasked to do, Producer Sean, is today you have throughout the entire show to work in the studio and not do any of the real work you have to do.
Nice.
But create a reindeer out of the Amazon boxes. Have you been wondering why there's 700 boxes in your studio?
I was. Yeah. It was very cluttered in there this morning. So wait a minute. Wait. When you say a reindeer, am I making like just a reindeer head?
No.
Oh, we're doing a full-size reindeer.
Life-size.
Yeah.
Life-size?
Yeah,
oh, boy.
Like one that you would see, you know, on the side of the road or wherever. But like a big one. Like a buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A buck.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Look, throwing out your terms. Look,
yeah,
look at you,
me,
huh?
Look at me. Yeah. Like the big ones, they got the antlers.
Oh,
like they look like reindeer, but they're not reindeer because they're buck.
Do I have enough cardboard for this?
A buck is it's a boy.
Yeah, reindeer. I know.
Right.
I know.
Okay.
It's got the things
on
its head.
Be a reindeer, right?
It's got the antlers.
Either way, we know what you mean. Right.
Yeah.
Tall. Make it big.
We want to be able that if a small child wanted to ride this reindeer, they would be able to do it.
I don't know whether or not we should do that for liability purposes, but you get the point.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust anyone trying to ride a cardboard reindeer, let alone a child.
that Sean made with scotch tape.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like a good plan in that regard. But okay, but I mean, I want to see it. I'm excited about the visual for sure.
So what we're going to ask you to do, Sean, is throughout the show, we post clips on our Instagram at Anna and Raven, the story saying how it's going, what you're doing, your progress. But do you have any strategy or any ways that you think you're going to do this?
Well, for starters, I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that I don't waste any cardboard because I don't have any idea how I'm going to approach this. Yeah. Secondly,
don't worry. If not, I can just run home real quick and grab 17 more boxes.
Yeah. And if you waste the cardboard, we'll just put it in the recycling bin.
It'll be fine.
It'll have another life.
Secondly, I'm wondering if I should go above and beyond and try to find like a some sort of way to make it Rudolph and put like a red bulb or something to make his nose glow.
The answer is yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Third is do we have a box cutter? Because I don't know if scissors, like, you know, cutting boxes with scissors, not very good. Not very productive.
I mean, I have a box cutter? The answer is no.
You carrying one for protection, Anna?
Nope.
I'm going to leave here with so many cardboard like cuts in my hands. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, no, we didn't think it forward. Like, that's why it's one of the 12 tasks of Christmas. It takes some thinking. It's your job now, man.
Yeah,
you can do it.
Right, this is on you.
All right, if you want to watch Sean work on making a life-size Amazon box reindeer, you can follow us on Instagram at Anna and Raven. And if you have an idea for another task we can do over the next 12 days, you can always text it to us at 1-800-330-9999.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 The little things around you that you see every day, observations of people doing things. You don't say anything when you witness it, but you just kind of roll your eyes internally and say to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. It's easy. Just fill in the blank. It feels good. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you. Caesar.
So I watch Breaking Bad, you know, on one of the streaming platforms. All I need to know about somebody is if you get on your phone to scroll mindlessly through Instagram while we're watching a really good show, it really annoys me when you start to watch the show, you enjoy it, and any break you can, you get on your phone. Don't you dare ask anything about what happened after that.
The way you're saying is your partner is not allowed to ask you for a recap is what you're asking.
If they divert their attention to their phone. To me, that sounds fair. That sounds fair to me.
You know what? I mean, there's times when it drives me absolutely insane. But if I say something, all I got to hear about is, you're always in your phone. It's always the same response from the other person, right? Well, you pick up your phone.
Some people, it's an addiction. And by some people, I mean me. So
I mean nearly everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot, right?
Yeah.
You're right, Caesar. It can be annoying. No question about it.
I didn't think it was that serious. Really addictive.
David, that's all I need to know about you.
If you think looking through your spouse's phone is an invasion of privacy, that is all I need to know about you.
That's a hot topic right there.
I mean, I would think that it's all context, right? It's all the nature of that. My phone is always out. My wife knows my passcode. I remind her of my passcode often because...
In case you drop dead.
That's right.
Yeah.
The keys to the castle are in the phone. I mean, really, that's the safe deposit box that never leaves you nowadays, right? And I would have no problem with her going in my phone. However, it's like if you walk in the door and somebody's like, give me your phone every day. Like, what are we doing here?
The only time that I get antsy about it is right now, this time of year. Because this is when I have like my Christmas list and my notes of what I bought, what I didn't buy.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is when my teenager all of a sudden needs my phone for something. She never has any interest in my phone. All of a sudden now, Mommy, can I see your phone? Mom, can I see your phone? Because she wants to see what's on those Christmas lists.
Oh, that's cheating.
And my husband.
And both manipulative.
Right. Otherwise, I kind of with you.
Sir, context is important here.
Yeah. Lauren, that's all I need to know about you.
If you don't fold your clothing before you put it away, that's all I need to know about you. My kids, they just shove it right in the drawer. And like, whose children are you? How did this happen?
That's so terrible. Sad. Yeah, it would drive me insane. You know why? Because they walk out and the clothes are clean and you put in all the effort to make this for them and they look filthy. They're all crinkled and messed up and you feel like, you know, somebody's been sleeping on top of that shirt. That would make me absolutely nuts. I mean, it is a small nothing problem, but I am with you. And this is terrible.
I mean, you were so upset, Raven. I was shocked by your reaction.
I learned how to iron when I was like 8. I care about ironing. It's important. All right. It's a thing that you can do. It's quick. It's easy. And it doesn't cost you anything. But I know the timing always seems terrible. But either way, Children in wrinkly clothes? No, you're not my children.
I like to play the game where I bring the folded clothes and I leave it on my teenager's bed. And then I just wait and see.
Yeah.
How some nights, I think she goes to bed with them just sitting on the corner of the bed folded.
100%. 100% they do.
Sometimes there is an ornament that's on your tree that's so ugly. And you just stare at it. And every time you put it up, you're like, where am I going to hide this one? But for whatever reason, you can't get rid of it, whether it's sentimental reasons, whether it's just been in the family forever.
Yeah, I'd say it could be misshapen, discolored, stained even at that point. I mean, sometimes back in the day, you know, something get into your Christmas decoration could be a mouse or something like that. Before we were all tote crazy, anything could have happened.
There was this episode.
It could smell, frankly.
Recently on Antique Roadshow, where there was like this ugly ornament that a family had in their family for six decades, they said. And they brought it because they wanted to throw it away, but they just felt like everyone kept it. It was worth like $13,000.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Imagine you bring your ugly ornament to Antique Roadshow and they're like, this is worth $13,000.
That's not going
to
happen with mine because this has got like pipe cleaners falling off the side of it. It's always something that the kid made in like second grade. The kid doesn't remember making it, but you have it along with eight other decorations that they brought for your tree.
What's the ugliest ornament on your tree right now?
Here's the thing. We haven't even decorated ours yet. The lights are on it, but the decorations, the ornaments themselves are still sitting on the floor in the tote.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just despise anyone that is made with glitter. I can't believe that we still have ornaments that are made with glitter. Specifically, though, there's one from when I was a child of a Santa poking his head out of a chimney, and it's got my name written on the top of it, but the brick and everything is so faded because it's so old, and then it has like something stuck to it. It almost feels like a sandpaper grit.
Okay.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
You can't repaint it.
No.
So, what am I going
to
do?
You have to accept it. That's put it on your tree for the rest of your life.
Just to live that way.
Maybe about 10 years ago, a friend of mine, you know, I'm a huge Marilyn Monroe fan.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone gets you Marilyn stuff.
Yes.
And she got me this hand-knit Marilyn ornament. But it's hand-knit, and it looks real creepy, and it looks like a voodoo doll.
Good.
And what was I going to do? Because she's always at my house on Christmas, and so now it's always in the tree, and I have to remember before she comes to move it from the back inside to, like, the front, because I don't want her to be like, where's the ornament?
You know the thing to do. It's obvious. You have to disinvite that person.
Because they gave me a voodoo doll Marilyn ornament.
The only way you're going to get rid of that thing.
Lenore, what's the ugliest thing on your tree right now, ornament?
So I have this, like... this weird, like, scary troll doll. It's not, like, I don't like it, but it's my boyfriend's, and I was just like, okay, like, I had to just, you know, succumb to it. But it's just, it's creepy, and it just should not be on a Christmas tree, you know?
So, wait a minute. It's not like a troll from, like, the movie Trolls and Little Trolls.
No,
it's an
not
actual,
one of those.
Like, troll.
Yeah, like a Harry Potter-esque, like, or Lord of the Rings, like, gremlin-y troll. It's not pretty.
I like all the trolls and gnomes, but I can get it. When you get into, like, the real-looking ones, I don't know.
Depends on their face, right?
A real-looking one? What's a real-looking one?
Scary.
Yeah, it looks just like the ones you've met?
Yeah, well, they don't have, like, multicolored neon hair that's standing 4 feet off their heads.
Right, that's true.
That's not the troll I want.
It's true. When you do have rainbow hair, it is a little bit disarming. You know, you could walk into a room, be cranky, and somebody has the right... brightly colored hair, and you're in a better mood. No, yep. I
right.
reason with that. That makes sense. Okay.
Why do we feel obligated to keep ugly ornaments on our tree? It's like, what's the history? Why is it so bad just to say I'm done with this ornament and throw it in the garbage?
Family guilt. You can't escape it.
All right. So what is the ugliest ornament on your tree right now? 1-800-330-9999. Jennifer.
All right. So it's terrible because it's really sweet. When my husband and I got engaged, my parents popped champagne for us, and then my mom turned the cork into a bride's head.
What? A dried head of what? A human head?
A bride's head.
Oh, a bride's head.
Yeah, a bride's head.
Oh.
A bride's head. I mean, so the cork has, like, cheesecloth on it. That's the veil of the bride,
nice.
And so it's the champagne cork from when we got engaged.
So wait a minute. So there's no body. It's just this large head.
I hope she used, like, a Sharpie to make your eyes and smile.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go any further with it because it's already a little disturbing.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's
but it's on the tree every year because it was Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Now you live with that.
Right. Thanks, Mom.
Hope the champagne was good.
Hey, Alexis, ugliest ornament on your tree right now.
Oh, my God. I have this cardinal that's, like, been passed down from my great-grandmother to my grandmother to my mom and me, and it looks like it's this red cardinal that literally looks like it's, like, a bird that's fallen out a window.
Like taxidermy. Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be on anyone's tree, but every Christmas, my mom comes over and, like, is looking for it.
So there's two things I have to say about that. One, you can never get the bird to sit straight on the branch.
Never.
Always flopping over.
Yes.
It's got that spring circle thing on the bottom with the clip.
You're trying to load it to something, right? Get it on a tree that can actually handle the load and then lean it against something.
It's just falling over.
It looks like a sick bird now.
It's like a dying bird.
Yes.
Two, everybody has that ornament because that's... You're going to think I'm nuts. Because that's how the dead people come to you. They come in the birds.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you are nuts.
No, like, you know how they send signs? They send signs to the cardinals and the birds. I have a couple of those birds, too. But I always think, like, that's your loved ones.
Right.
From,
that's your uncle. That's your aunt. So now you have to keep putting them up.
There they are. Why they can't stay straight on the branch, I don't know.
You know what I think of when I see that ornament is I just think that's how they found stuff and decorated stuff back in the day. With dead stuff, they stuff full of, it's like taxidermy.
They didn't have ornaments in the old days, so they just used dead birds. That's your thought process?
It's a little taxidermy.
I'm not sure what's worse, the fact that I believe my dead relatives live in the bird ornaments on my tree, or that you think that's how they decorated trees in the 1800s.
Oh, man.
Hannah, what's the ugliest ornament you own?
Okay, the ugliest one I own is one that someone made for me, and it's a combination of the Grinch and a candy cane. They made it out of felt.
Do you have cats?
I do.
All right,
I do.
Dog and cat hair stuck to this thing forever, as if it wasn't already strange. It's made of felt.
Who made you a felt ornament? I hope they were under 7.
They were not. They were an adult taking a felting class. But I thought you were just suggesting that I make it a cat toy, and I thought that was brilliant.
I mean, you could do that, too. Take the pressure of it off the tree. I mean, you can't hardly blame the cat if you find it in the tree attacking that ornament.
Things that I'm Googling right now. Where do you find a felting class?
Took a felting class, right? Senior center.
Oh,
that's going to be my guess.
There's so many. You could take it online, too. There's even needle felting painting. I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
They have it at Michael's stores.
Yeah. We'll skip that, I guess. Right.
There's like an obligation to put the ugly ornaments back on the tree every single year, even if you don't like them, right?
Why do we do it to ourselves?
What is the ugliest ornament on your tree right now? 1-800-330-9999. Gary.
Okay, so when my nephew was like 6, he made a baby Jesus out of ceramic for school, and then I was supposed to hang it on my tree. It's so ugly that I like reserve it for the back of the tree, and he's like 15 now, and he keeps like expecting it to be the centerpiece of my ornaments, and I know it's so ugly. It looks like baby Jesus as an alien.
Oh.
Yeah. When they take that porcelain class, any sort of pottery class or whatever, they make you something, you know, you got to use it.
Yeah.
Right? Your kids bring home that cup that's misshapen. It leaks one corner, and you never trust it. I don't care if it's been in the kiln or not. You're like, I'm not drinking from that thing. And now, here you go. You got the savior. Now, what are you supposed to do with that? You can't get rid of it ever.
No, you can never throw that away.
Wow.
The ugliest ornaments ever came out of the pandemic because everybody had so much time on their hands and they wanted to make stuff at home.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really popular to make, like, the handprints of your dogs, the paw prints of the dogs or your children, but you would use, like, flour and egg whites or something like that?
Yeah, it was almost like a dough.
Oh, I have so many of those that my kids made, and I'm just waiting for them to break so I could throw them in the garbage.
You gotta drop that box.
Katie, what's the ugliest ornament you own?
Oh, my goodness. So my mom insists we keep putting this ornament up. Okay, I mean, she's in her 80s. I you know, I'll do anything for my mom, but this one just drives me crazy. So she had a German Shepherd dog named Clyde when she was a little girl. Clyde died. They took one of his bones and they made it into a Christmas ornament, like an actual doggy bone from the 50s. They have like a, you know, ribbon on it. They painted his name on it, and it's not even like the cute name, handwriting. It says Clyde, and it's a big dog bone.
Wait, hold on. Are you have the same question that I have right
Yes,
now?
I think so. And one of us needs to ask it right away.
It's like a dog bone that a dog would eat, not an actual, like...
Not his femur.
Not his femur.
Oh, right.
Right. Oh, right, not a femur.
Oh, man, I was going to find where your house was.
Yeah.
We were going to have a serious talk, me and your family.
I think there's laws against that,
Me and your 83-year-old mom were going to have it out.
Yeah.
We were going to have it out.
All right. Now I can
She said, you know, it's so important to her.
Yeah.
It's
a piece of dirty rawhide that's been hanging around for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
50 years, 60 years.
80 years or 70 years.
Oh,
and now
God.
I'm like, no, we can't put this dog, horrific dog bone on the Christmas tree.
That goes on the back of the tree. Right. Yeah.
You know it's old and nasty and gross when your current dog has no interest in eating it whatsoever.
No, not at all.
Alisa, ugliest ornament on your tree right now?
We have a leg lamp from A Christmas Story on our tree. And it wouldn't be bad if it wasn't for the fact that the rest of the tree was very vintage and shiny and beautiful. But it's my husband's, and he refuses to move it or put it someplace else.
How many leg lamps you got, Anna?
Zero, Raven.
I have four.
Seems like too many leg lamps.
I have four.
Why?
I have an ornament. I have a full-size deluxe.
Where does the full-size one go?
Right on the table right next to the couch in front of the bay window.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I got like a one-fifth or a quarter-size one. And then I've got a nightlight one.
Why do you have so many?
Oh, because people know I love that movie. It's my favorite movie.
Okay.
Big-time award. Brain power. It's fantastic. And I always have glue in the house, so don't even think about it.
Lisa, it makes you feel better about the fact that you have one on your tree, right?
Yeah, you better be happy. But if you really, really, really got to get rid of that thing, send it to the station.
Naughty or nice, you decide. Let's see who called Anna and Raven Santa tip line today. Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, thanks, Santa. If you want to call the Santa tip line too, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you just leave a message. It's 855-785-4101. Santa needs your help. Needs to know who's been naughty and who's been nice.
For sure. It's a numbers game, right? And again, you can increase your chances by pointing out the people around you that maybe have been misbehaving, that haven't been so great. Or maybe you can up your karma by going, listen, this person has been fantastic. There's all sorts of different ways to play this game.
Raven, who's been calling?
I hope everyone has been a good girl and boy. And happy Merry Christmas. I want... What do I
want?
You know what you want. A butterfly get a butterfly. And my mommy wants a new purse.
Here's the thing.
What does she want?
I can't understand a word that she wants because while she's trying to be nice to that baby sister or brother that's there, they interrupt every time she goes to say what she actually wants. But I think her mom wants a new purse.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Either that, it was a hearse. I think it was a purse. That's what I'm going to go with there.
Yeah.
So.
If the choices are hearse or purse,
right.
I'm going to go with purse as well.
Go with purse.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Right.
I want power, and now my sister is going to tell you what you want, what she wants. And my name is Olivia.
Hi, I am Sophia. I want everything in the world but bad things, and I want to be able to fight the whole Target, and I want powers.
And we love you. I want health, my whole family, too.
All right, so I got health for everybody.
Well, you have to say that.
And the family.
Right, yeah.
Right. And they want good for everybody.
Yeah.
Also, Sophia said there. But both Olivia and Sophia want powers.
I noticed that in my notes here as I was writing down.
Yeah.
I go, Olivia and Sophia, dear mm-hmm. Santa, they both want powers. Now, they didn't clarify what kind of powers they wanted.
Oh, I think Sophia said that she wanted to be able to fly. I thought
oh,
I heard that there.
All right.
But
fly. If you could have one power, what power would it be, Raven?
Invisibility.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to know what people are thinking. I want to read people's minds.
I don't think I want to.
I do.
I think I want to quiet that noise, but I would love to slip right into a bank vault.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you could read people's minds, then you could get the bank vault number from the person that works there.
I guess you could. Yeah.
All right.
I guess that's possible.
We went into a deep hole.
Hi, Santa. This is Emma. And I've been good all year. Are you going to bring me pizza? I'm going to leave you milk and cookies. And goodbye. It's Merry Christmas.
Emma's like, there's an exchange rate here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You bring me a present.
I'm going to put out the milk and cookies. Everything's going to be fine.
Emma, you got it down, girl. You're right. You're right. All right. If you want to call the Santa tip line, too, it's 855-785-4101. Again, that's 855-785-4101. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? I mean, you can't make this up.
It's absolutely wild, right? I mean, but jumping right in, leaning in, you got to kind of, I don't know.
George Santos, I mean, he's been all over the news for forever now. He was expelled from Congress on Friday. That's not why he's trending. He wasted no time in getting a new side gig. He joined Cameo. Yep. Cameo. If you're not familiar with that, that's the site where you can pay influencers, celebrities, athletes to make personal videos for you.
I'm just going to say it. No matter what happens, even if this guy ends up going to prison at some point or whatever, he's going to have a TV show. I mean, you got to know that, right? Just the way that this dude is leaning in.
I almost don't want to say this out loud.
Yeah.
But I'm just fascinated.
It's crazy.
So his page has him listed as former congressional icon. And then there's an emoji of a hand getting the manicure. You know, that emoji there is.
Yeah, that's one of the things that he got busted for, apparently, with misappropriation with campaign funds.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Then under it, it says the expelled member of Congress from New York City. He's charging $200 per video. Originally, it was $150, and I guess he had so many requests
they
so
bumped
fast,
it up.
He bumped it right up.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, remember, he was accused of doing everything from using political funds on OnlyFans and Botox to identity theft. Like, there's a long list of things.
And then when he got busted and pushed out, he was like, there's my hit list. I'm coming for you all, and outed like five people before he walked out the door. He's insane.
He said that he was on Cameo, he's just doing it to have fun and connect with all you folks. He says, I have no goals, just going with the flow and living life. Here's a couple of the cameos that have been posted so far.
I hear you got this great promotion, new gig going on. Your coworkers are so excited for you. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the kindness. You know, Botox keeps you young. Fillers keeps you plump.
I mean, it's like if a rapper raps about a crime and then they go to court and they go, well, I'd have to be stupid if I'd rap about it, right? It's a perfect alibi.
He ends each one with a kiss.
I love it.
Mwah. How about this one?
I love it.
I love that your siblings call you the chaos child because that's how I'm known in my house. Don't let the haters get to you. Haters are going to hate. And if you have haters, that means you're doing something right, girl.
Okay. But, you know, in not so political terms, yeah. Everybody's getting on board with this because Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, he's been vocal about having another senator, Bob Menendez from Jersey, to resign after he was indicted for corruption.
No.
So Fetterman had Santos make this cameo.
Hey, Bobby. Look, I don't think I need to tell you, but these people that want to make you get in trouble and want to kick you out and make you run away, you make them put up or shut up. You stand your ground, sir.
I mean, there's so many. Yeah.
Wait a minute. There's other senators that are hiring him?
So many of
them.
Can't
somebody just go to work today?
Here's what I know. George Santos, I was trying to count how many videos he sent out yesterday.
Yeah.
It says temporary on hold. He has so many requests. I have been on Cameo for 6 months.
Yeah.
Not one person has requested my $15 video.
You hear that, not Senator? Any senator, state rep, anybody.
I will happily make your video.
Right.
And I've never been indicted on anything.
Well,
yet.
I mean,
there's still time.
Sure.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. Right. I posted this on social media and they came for me, and they came for me swiftly and they came hard.
At the risk of sounding insane, I know what I'm about to say sounds absolutely nuts, and there's going to be plenty of parents that jump down my throat. But anybody else think the playground is too dangerous for most kids? Today I received my second call from the school nurse that my daughter had injured herself. First, it was the monkey bars. Now, here's the problem with the monkey bars. Every woman in my family, me, my mom, my older daughter, and now my little one, too, we do not have the upper body strength for the monkey bars. This time, Dakota fell flat on her face. I got a call from the nurse. They said they checked her ears. Why? I have no idea. And then they put an ice pack on her tummy.
I go on to talk about why the playgrounds are a little bit too dangerous for certain kids. Now, Raven, producer John, here are just some of the comments that I've received.
Yeah.
Wow, the snowflakes today. Look at us boomers. We all came out okay.
Oh, they were going to fit in as many terms as they could in that.
So many snowflake references.
Yeah.
Helicopter mom, why don't you just wrap your kid in bubble wrap?
Yeah, buzzwords.
Kids need to toughen up. Maybe this is natural selection.
This is what's wrong with this country. Is that one coming?
Sounds like a very inactive family who raised a kid with poor coordination.
You know what? That one hits more spot on. I gotta be honest.
Very on the nose.
When you start talking about the fact that you lack, you know, upper body strength and make it sound like a genome type situation, right?
Your kid is a walking L. Sounds like the whole bloodline is.
Oh, now that's not nice.
You are the problem with modern parenting.
Oh,
you that's the whole problem in this room.
That's the one I was waiting for. Right now.
Listen, I am all about letting my kid make mistakes, hurt herself, and Dakota is that kid. You know how you have like one kid who is just the daredevil who's always getting hurt? Like, that's my Dakota. So when I see her go up on those monkey bars, I'm like, oh, this is a broken arm waiting to happen. Now, I've mentioned this behind the scenes to you guys millions of times before. John, what happened?
Well, you know, my son is similar to your daughter. He's a daredevil. He's a little bit nutty. And he had a real bad week last week because he got stitches in two parts of his bottom lip because he was on, yes, Anna, the monkey bars.
Yep.
He was on the monkey bars. Mm. Now, here's the difference is that James can handle some monkey bars. I've seen him do it. The problem is that he likes to push. He likes to do the next level. So this time he did a flying leap to the monkey bars. He's 4 years old.
Yes.
He's 4 years old, did a flying leap, one-handed, tried to snag the monkey bar. And, of course, that did not go his way.
No.
American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
Look at what they're doing.
Yeah. I had a conference with Dakota's teacher, and it was so funny because, like, after you fall off the monkey, and I've seen her fall. It's terrifying as a parent to watch him hit the ground face first
that.
You know, I've threatened her. I've warned her, all that. She said to me that Dakota stands at the monkey bars during recess, and she watches the kids, and she runs and gets a teacher if a kid looks like they're in trouble. And I'm like, this is what I've done to my kid.
All right, you created this paranoia.
Yeah, but do you agree? Do you think that there's some things on the playground, some structures that maybe are just a little bit dangerous? The monkey bars on the school playground, they're dangerous for some kids. My daughter's fallen off them, though, a ton of times. Producer John's son just had to get stitches.
It was the closest I could be to being Indiana Jones when I was younger, so I still love him.
What do you think is the most dangerous thing on the playground? 1-800-330-9999. Allie?
The swings. I don't know what it is about the swings, but children just don't understand that they go to and fro. And the amount of injuries I've seen of toddlers, or even just, you know, 6-7-year-olds getting nailed by some kids' feet swinging, it's brutal.
For me, the swings, they pose about, I don't know, half dozen dangers, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing that I want to do when I get on a swing, guess what? I want to jump off it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And of course, it's not enough to jump off when you're a foot above the ground or whatever. I got to go to the absolute utmost, the apex of where this thing will take me already. You don't understand physics when you're 8. So when you go up to that highest point that the swing goes and you jump out, you're just going straight down. You're not going out. You might not even clear the swing. The other thing is getting the fingers or, you know, your hair or your coat or whatever stuck in the side.
Yes.
Oh, brutal.
We used to do the thing where we would like twist it around and around and around and you let go and you spin. That's when you could really hurt your fingers.
Definitely.
Jesse, how about you? Most dangerous thing on the playground?
I'm going to have to go with seesaw. We were pretty dumb as kids. You know, one person would sit on the end. The other person would try and run up and jump off the top. Not a great idea, it turns out. That's how I broke my arm.
Oh.
It's a catapult, right? So,
yes.
Basically.
Yeah. You get two of your three of your friends on the other side. They're going to jump on it while you're on it or whatever. Yeah. The seesaw.
I was an overweight child. And
so you were the favorite friend to have on the seesaw.
No, it was always the thing where, like, I would want to go on the seesaw with my friends, and then, like, there had to be three of them on one side and me on the other to, like, even it out so we could go up and down. They would just be in the air, and I'd just be sitting there by myself.
That doesn't sound right.
It was really sad.
I mean, were they the same age as you? That doesn't seem...
Okay. They were very small. Actually, even Tina to this day is a lot smaller than me.
Yeah.
It was just her bone structure, I think, was very small.
Right.
But
and you would shimmy up on the seat, and they would shimmy to the back.
And they would go to the edge.
Yeah.
But now, like, when you go to the playgrounds, there's a lot of variances in the seesaws. They've made them, I feel like, safer. Like, they're now like full seats. You're, like, sitting in a carriage, like, you know, like, going back and forth. It's really hurtful, more than just dangerous. It was... hurt my feelings a lot of times.
I mean, I'm upset for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on the seesaw with like a regular person now.
Thank you.
Yeah. if you could find one, I think you'd be fine.
That's how you made me feel better now as an adult. It would be evenly distributed.
Or we could go out there and you could find five kids right now. I don't know. Get on the other side. What are you, in third grade? You got four friends? Let's go. We're going in to Seesaw. Hey, John, what do you think? Most dangerous thing on the playground. What is it?
That round thing that spins around where kids sit on it and an adult runs around in circles. And they fall off sometimes, like my nephew did, and he had to get air vac to a hospital.
The roundabout.
The roundabout, yeah.
Centrifugal force, nothing to play with. Yeah. And everything had to be made out of iron back in the day. Like, everything was made out of metal. I mean, I don't know what you would make it out of that it would be, you know, less painful, but I mean, it just seemed like a lousy choice. Even the rocking things. Like, you remember the rocking horse and the rocking...
Yes, those horses and those squeeze cars and all those things. Yep, yes, and they springs. Were
metal on the springs, right? And that thing could smack you in the face and break your jaw.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's the 12 Tasks of Christmas on the Anna and Raven Show.
It all kicks off today. Every day for the next 12 days, it's a different task to bring holiday cheer and get everybody in the mood. So if you missed it earlier today, this was the task that was assigned.
You know, here's the thing. Producer Sean, extremely crafty.
Yeah. Producer
Sneaky
Sean.
Sneaky crafty.
You're up first. And a lot of times you get all these boxes. Like, you get home from work or wherever you are out, and there's just tons of boxes. And you don't know what to do with them after you take the stuff out. Here's what we did. We brought them to work.
Oh, geez.
All these boxes. And what you are tasked to do, Producer Sean, is today to work in the studio and not do any of the real work you have to do.
Nice.
But create a reindeer out of the Amazon boxes. Have you been wondering why there's 700 boxes in your studio?
I was. Yeah. It was very cluttered in there this morning. So wait a minute. Wait. When you say a reindeer, am I making, like, just a reindeer head?
No.
Oh, we're doing a full-size reindeer.
Life-size.
Yeah. Life-size?
Yeah,
oh, boy.
Like one that you would see, you know, on the side of the road or wherever. But like a big one, like a buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A buck.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Producer Sean, you have been working so diligently throughout the show. Mm-hmm. This is amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, would you like to describe it?
I had made a beautiful reindeer. It's just, it's got a very big body. I was going to try to go for a three-dimensional one, but
it's
I didn't realize
that. Obese.
Yeah, you know, he's a little thick. He ate a lot. He's getting ready for winter.
He does.
Are we going to fat shame this reindeer? Because that doesn't seem nice.
I mean, first, I'm just, listen.
It's beautiful.
All right. I'm concerned. I'm not sure that that's accurately what the tail looks like.
You're worried about diabetes on this reindeer?
It is a beautiful reindeer. Well, I mean, to be fair, if we were looking at its BMI, that reindeer is like 4 feet tall. And it's clearly, I mean, about 2 feet of it is body. It's, you know,
and the funny part is, like, the head looks like, without the antlers, it looked like a dog's head.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I mean, still a good-looking reindeer.
He's got a red nose like Rudolph.
Yeah.
I mean, he's beautiful, considering all you had was scissors and cardboard.
I mean, that red nose is probably ketchup because he was eating 2 minutes ago.
Leaving him in the studio. If anyone throws him out, I'll be very disappointed.
All right, well.
The only thing is, I was hoping that I could, like, jump on top or at least put a toddler on top to ride the reindeer.
No, I don't
think it's sturdy enough for that.
Not happening.
But it does stand on its own.
Seems like a terribly placed paper cut if you do that too. I wouldn't do that.
If you want to see the reindeer for yourself, you can check out our Instagram story at Anna and Raven. And if you have an idea for a 12 task of Christmas, you can send it to us by texting 1-800-330-9999.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
What problem?
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Adam and Jackie. Adam, what's going on?
So Jackie and I have been married for a year now. I love her more than anything. But she is kind of a flirt. She's always been, like, the center of attention, center of the party. And, you know, that's why I love her. She has a great smile, great personality, gets along with everybody. She's amazing. But it's starting to get a little old because, like, you know, we're married and she's still going out with her friends on the weekends and still, like, talking to everybody that's approaching her and, like, still smiling and like flirting with guys. It might not mean anything, but she's still flirting with them. And it's starting to get on my nerves a little bit.
Jackie, what's your side of this?
Yeah, I mean, look, he fell in love with me this way. Like, this is me. I feel like he wouldn't have fallen in love with me if I wasn't this flirty. This is part of my personality. He's known this forever. I think it's actually a good thing that I haven't changed since we got married, because then I'd be a different version of myself, and this is the me you love. I wear my wedding ring. I don't do anything. I never, like, cross any inappropriate boundaries. It's just part of my energy. So I don't know, like, I'm not going to be who I'm not.
Adam, do you go out with Jackie when, you know, she's going out on the weekends or whatever?
Well, I mean, I leave her be when she has a girl's night, so we go out plenty, but...
When you go out together, is this an issue for you guys?
Not all the time. Most of the time, it's fine. But, like, there are times where, like, a guy will, like, approach us. Like, I'll be standing there, too. And the guy just won't care, and he'll be talking to her, and she'll be reciprocating. Even though, like, we both know nothing's going to happen, it still makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I used to have a friend like this.
I used to have a girlfriend like this.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What was it? What?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was the deal?
You try and be really cool and loose about it because, you know, I mean, based on the nature of what we do and being the DJ at the bar or the clubs, too, there's often times that I was the center of attention, right? So you want to have a balance of that. In some ways, it is, as you said, Adam and Jackie, as a matter of fact, it is very attractive. Of course, there's somebody that's gregarious, they're approachable, they're interesting, they have, you know, some input on everything, and they're quick-witted, right? And I enjoy that. On the other hand, I've been there when it gets old, too.
If I actually, like, A, was not my authentic self, but, like, toned it down, would Adam even be as into me as he is? Because he fell in love with this. He fell in love with me.
After a year of marriage, I would expect you to stop doing that because we're committed to each other. As somebody who was a single guy at one point, I spoke to a lot of women in a relationship or married or something. I still spoke to them because I liked getting that validation. I liked getting that attention. And I wanted more of that. And unless that girl made it clear, and I mean like really clear, like not looking at me, not looking, giving me any attention, not talking to me, anything, I'm thinking there's a chance. So I imagine that every other guy who speaks to you is thinking that same thing.
I talk about you. I wear a wedding ring. It's not like I'm...
It doesn't matter if you talk about me. In a single man's mind, there's always a chance.
If you guys don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 27.
I'm 25.
Okay. Why don't we see what the audience has to say? It's her flirtatious nature. Is there anything wrong with that? He knew who he was marrying.
1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Adam and Jackie are having a disagreement, and I don't really know where I stand on this. So they've been married for a year now, and Jackie is a flirt. She admits it. She's a flirt. But Adam also knew that when they got married. They're young. They're in their 20s, and it's just she feels like people are attracted to her, and she smiles, and she talks to guys. And Adam says, well, now that we've been married a year, and I see it like when we're out at bars still or when we're out to restaurants, I want you to stop. Like, stop talking to people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Jackie's defense of this is who I am, this is, you know, how I feel good is, it's not great when your partner is just telling you that this hurts me, right? Things change. They evolve. What your attitude is on your first few dates, the first 6 months you're together, it's a whole lot different once you've gone through the courtship and now you're married and whatnot, right? You want to respect the other person's boundaries. At the same time, like, you don't want to feel disrespected every day.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel that way every weekend.
But Jackie says it's innocent. It's innocent and he knows that and he trusts her. So why is this all of a sudden a big deal now after a year of being married and, you know, together for many more years before that?
I mean, because you're married now.
What do you think?
Right.
1-800-330-9999. Marjorie.
Hey, so, I mean, it's understandable because they're both in their 20s. But I'm on the guy side. I feel like he should flirt with other women and see how she feels. If it's not wrong for her, then maybe they have other issues. But if she doesn't like it, then she'll stop.
Maybe.
I mean, the eye for an eye thing, I've never been a fan of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think two wrongs make a right, you know? So
I think it just creates a bigger issue down the road.
The bigger issue here, though, is that he knew who she was and how she was before they got married. So is asking her to change now too big of an ask? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. If you knew your girlfriend was a flirt, just how she was, part of her personality, she just attracts the opposite sex. And every time she goes out, she's talking to guys. And then you married her. Would you expect her to change after that? It's exactly what's going on with Adam and Jackie. Jackie's always been a flirt. She's just got that personality that attracts people, big smile. And Adam says at this point, now that they've been married a year, she wants her to shut it down. Stop talking to people.
Well, I mean, not shut it down completely, but pull it back anyways, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, this happens in front of me. We're out, you know, we're somewhere. And, you know, somebody will come up and start talking to her. And the two of us are standing next to each other, and she'll engage with them in a way that doesn't make him feel good. I think that in theory, you like to be cool with everything. And certainly that's, you know, part of what Adam was attracted to with Jackie. But at some point, like, you want to feel like you're being respected in a situation.
Jackie says, you know you have nothing to worry about. You know that I'm only honest and truthful to you, that you're my husband. Why is this bothering you? Why do you want me to change now? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Ange, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side because I'm married a while, and this was a problem in the beginning of my marriage. And I told my husband, you know, hey, when we're at the butcher and he's flirting with me and he takes his thumb off the scale, who benefits from that? Besides, right. I'm going home with you.
Right, right. Yeah. Get that
so
meat.
You right. should be happy that somebody else finds your wife attractive and you're leaving with me.
Yeah, I love ribeye, but I don't know if I sign up on all that. But thanks for calling.
Thanks, Ed.
Hey, Dan, are you a butcher?
No.
No. All right. Whose side are you on?
Didn't think
then?
So.
Yeah.
So I'm on his side, but with restriction. Men, we live our own guilt from past experiences. So as far as how he feels and how it makes him feel, that was him at one point out when he was single. And he expressed his concern when he was single. And he knew what he was doing and all that. And he's open to it. But guys and girls are wired differently. And his thought versus her thought, that's the issue. And they need to discuss it.
Hmm. You know what? I mean, I'm not sure that I agree with everything, Dan. But it's an interesting point of view. And it's a persuasive argument.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the guy's side because it's unacceptable. You know, women know what they're doing, and they know how they're doing it. And, you know, they're very smart, and they always make an excuse for it. And it's just unacceptable.
Well, I think everybody knows when they're totally. Flirting, right? I mean, I don't think men, women, whatever. We all know when we're flirting. It's a feeling.
Yes.
Right?
I think women know just as much as men know, though. Yeah,
well, yes. Right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Adam, our audience agreed with you today. Jackie, you're a married woman. You got to pull it back now. If that means cutting down the days you're going out or, you know, kind of abruptly ending conversations with people, you have to take his feelings into account. And if that may have changed from when you were dating, I mean, I get it. It's jarring, but it's your forever person. So you have to work with him.
Well, okay. I'll try.
Jackie, it takes some adjustment, right? I mean, I don't think that you need to stop having conversations or be unfriendly or unwelcoming. I don't think that's what anybody's looking for. But validation for your husband is important, right? I mean, you would want that same thing when you need it. If he's telling you that it's hurting him or making him upset, who wants that to escalate? Nobody wants that.
I know. Of course. I hear that. Okay.
And you know what? Adam's right. Dudes can be dumb.
That's true.
Really dumb.
Yeah.
And we're dumb, man. Like, we're all dumb.
And some are just really disrespectful, too. Adam, you've got to feel a bit better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, at least a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
At least, you know, Jackie's hearing you. She knows how you're feeling, and you know you're not alone.
And if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,800, thanks to Cricket. Switch to Cricket today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. After all, you've been good this year, and they think you really, really deserve it. Smile, you're on Cricket. Hey, Mark, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man.
Okay. Raven is going to leave. That door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number 1, actor Sebastian Stan is set to play a young Donald Trump in an upcoming movie. What is the name of the reality television show that judged the business skills of a group of contestants that featured Donald Trump?
I can't remember. The Associates.
Okay. Number 2, a trailer for the upcoming Godzilla vs. Kong movie, the New Empire film, was released. What building did King Kong famously climb in the 1933 King Kong film?
The Empire State Building.
Number three, Michelle Pfeiffer showed off a nasty black eye she received during a pickleball game on her social media. True or false? In pickleball, only the serving team can score points.
False.
Number four, Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree just hit number one for the first time since it was released 65 years ago. At 78 years old, Brenda is also the oldest artist to reach the top of the Hot 100. Finish the next line from the opening lyric. The opening lyric. Rocking around the Christmas tree.
At the Christmas party hop.
Number five, Riz is the 2023 Oxford University Press Word of the Year. Riz is a shortened form of what word?
Risen.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
2 out of 5 for Mark.
Not great, Mark. $1,800. Let's see how I do.
Actor Sebastian Stan is set to play a young Donald Trump in an upcoming movie. What was the name of the reality TV show that judged business skills of a group of contestants that featured Donald Trump?
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice is correct. Number two, a trailer for the upcoming Godzilla X Kong. Is it verse Kong, X Kong? What am I supposed to say when there's an X?
It's a verse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We should investigate that.
That's weird.
The new Empire film was released. What building did King Kong famously climb in the 1933 King Kong film?
The Empire State Building.
That's right. I went to the top of the Empire State Building a few years ago, and there's a giant King Kong there to take pictures with. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Yeah. You know what? Even up there, even with all the fences and everything, I was nervous.
And I thought it was beautiful. And I'm afraid of heights.
It's beautiful. But when I get up there, like, my legs go numb.
Number three, Michelle Pfeiffer showed off a nasty black eye she received during a pickleball game on her social media.
Wild.
True or false? In pickleball, only the serving team can score points.
True.
True is true. Number four, Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree just hit number one for the first time since it was released 65 years ago. And at 78 years old, Brenda is the oldest artist to reach the top Hot 100. Finish the next line from the opening lyric. Rocking around the Christmas tree.
At the Christmas party hop.
That's right.
Yeah.
And number five, Riz is the 2023 Oxford University Press Word of the Year. Riz is a shortened form of what word?
Charisma.
Charisma is correct. I'm sorry, Mark. 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Mark, and I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, buddy. $1,900 tomorrow, Anna.